This is Mike Willen Smith, and you're listening to the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey, friends, welcome to the Radical Radiance Podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca George, and I could not be more excited about today's conversation. We get to sit down with Mike Willen Smith, who you might know as the Nester if you follow her online or you've read any of her past books. She has a new book coming out called House Rules, and it's all about house rules. And we talk all about decor and how we can maximize our space, how we can shop our homes for things that we already own that we might not be using. It's such a fun conversation. And we really get to kind of center it around how do we steward our homes in such a way that we are able to love on others with hospitality as we welcome them into our spaces. And so I think you're going to be really encouraged, and I think you're maybe going to pick up a new idea or two for your own home as you listen to today's episode. We've had Mike Willen on the show before, so if you've not listened to that previous episode, I would highly encourage you to do that. And help me welcome our friend Mike Willen, aka the Nester, back to the show. Mike Willen, welcome back to the show. I am so excited to have you. It feels like a million years ago that we chatted for the first time. I went back and looked. It was episode 45, which we're over 300 episodes in now. So that just feels like about eight lifetimes ago. So I'm just excited to catch up with you. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I love getting to talk about home with anyone. So I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Well, you are releasing a new book called House Rules, and I just love the title of it, first of all. And as I've just dug into what you kind of cover in the book, I'm excited to chat with you about it today. And so I would love for listeners to just hear a little bit of your heart and kind of mindset behind kind of how you framed the book. So let's just start there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I definitely am not a writer at heart. I much prefer anything but writing. And this is my fourth book. I'll tell you, after book number three, I thought, I am finished. I have said all there is to say about home. It is over.
Okay.
And then I met a reader, and she said, oh, I have all three of your books, but my family room looks exactly the same. I haven't really changed any of my rooms because I just wasn't born with a decorating gene. And Rebecca, I don't remember anything else. I think I was speaking that night at something, or all I could think of was, I have failed my reader. If people think there's a decorating gene, what am I even doing with my life? But at the same time, I mean, you know, I could really relate with her. I kind of feel that like with makeup or, you know, as when I was younger, I almost failed spelling in elementary school because, you know, they give you that pretest on Monday, then on Friday is the big test. And for like years, I didn't know to study. I just thought that it was a test on what you knew. Mm. And girl, you either knew your spelling words or you didn't. And if
That's
you didn't,
right.
It's a test. Do you know it? So once I realized, and I'm sure it was a wonderful teacher who said, oh no, you are meant to learn. You're supposed to study. There are rules here. I before E, except after C. You know, here's some tips. Here's some shortcuts. Here's some memorable things. And now, just like everyone else, if you study enough, you can get an A in spelling too. And that really helped me and also helped me understand how we can mistakenly maybe think that people were born with certain gifts. And I do think we all have passions that we're excited about, but I think some of us just started earlier. I know I started doing house stuff when I had Barbies. So I might've had 20 years on someone when they got married, because I've been decorating living rooms in the micro for ages. But yes, that's how it started. Was I thought, oh, I need to write. I want to make sure I come across as a teacher, helping women make confident decorating decisions that apply to any style, just like I before E, except after C. Doesn't matter if you're writing a Facebook post or if you're writing a letter to your friend or writing a book, the rule applies. And there are universal decorating truths. It doesn't matter if you have no budget, if you're a zillionaire, if you live in a mansion or a tiny house or what your style is, the rules still actually ring true. And that's what House Rules is.
I love that so much. And I think that's so helpful because sometimes
particularly with things like decorating our home, if we feel like we're not the expert, we can just kind of easily give up on like wanting to cultivate that environment. And so I actually think, you know, calling it rules or calling it these like universal things that we can all apply is actually really, really helpful. So for listeners who are coming to the conversation and they're thinking like, okay, I want to, at the end of this conversation, at least get my appetite wet for what she means by house rules. Like, what are some of, what's a taste of those universal decorating truths that would apply to every home that listeners could take and apply today?
Absolutely. Well, first, let me tell you, the very first rule is to learn the rules and break them beautifully. So,
oh, I love that.
You know, I am not really a rules girl, but I do understand. I think it's Andrew Peterson who says, you have to earn the right to break the rules. And so in our creative endeavors, we don't want to break the rules because we're ignorant and we don't know better. We want to break the rules on purpose. So I say, break the rules so your room can be better, not because you don't know better. So this is a just another notch in like giving you confidence in your decorating decisions so that you'll have some knowledge behind that of why did your mirror look great at your last house over the mantle and then you moved and now it looks ridiculous. There is a logical reason, and I can tell you why in house rules. So some of those rules are like basic, like ignore the builder, which is, I tell a story about in my current house. I have a room that sounds crazy, but doesn't have any walls really. And so I had to put some furniture in front of a fireplace and it looks good. It actually ended up on the cover of the book. And so
I love
sometimes
that.
We have to, you know, think differently about our home. So see how the rules are more general, just like I before E, except after C, or one of my rules that rhymes is contrast is queen if you want to be seen. So let's say you have a, let's say you love the color, like a really inky blue, and you have an inky blue dresser and an inky blue wall, and you want to, you know, get a lamp and some art. Well, when you're shopping or when you're shopping your house, when you're making your decisions for what goes up there, you can remember the rule that contrast is queen if you want to be seen. And you can ask yourself, well, do I want a lamp that is going to be seen? Or maybe I want things to feel like real muted and quiet. So depending on what you personally want for the room, doesn't matter the style, but you can use that rule to help you make a competent decorating decision.
I had the honor of endorsing the Rebecca's Reads book for February, Legacy Changer, Heal the Hurt, Redeem Your Story, Create Hope for Your Family by Kristen Hallinan. Do you feel desperate for a change in your family? Maybe it feels difficult to put your finger on the root of the pain or know why you feel anxious. You want to heal from the past, but you're not sure how? If you want to see what God's Word has to say about unhealthy relationships or setting boundaries, go grab a copy of Legacy Changer by my friend Kristen at the link in the show notes today or wherever you like to buy books.
I love that. I love that so much. I am going to admit to you that, so me and my husband moved into a new house a couple years ago. And you know how when you move, you feel like every space, or at least this is me, I'm not going to speak for everyone at large. For me, I tend to make really fast decisions, knowing that I might sacrifice, you know, maybe a decision here or there for the sake of like getting my house in a good space and like a livable space. Like that mattered more to me than like the exact shade of beige that I paint the walls. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so also we were just totally changing seasons of life. So my husband, who's a lead pastor, we were transitioning into our new church and like there was so much that mattered more to me than the color of my walls and just decorating choices at that point that I made some pretty quick decisions, right? So we painted most everything this very neutral beige color, which I love, but I did paint one of our bathrooms this beautiful, on paper, terracotta color. And Myquillen, the day after I painted it, I hated it. But I sat with it for like 2 years and I just finally a couple weeks ago repainted it to another neutral color and created some contrast in like the cabinet that we chose and some other things. So you saying contrast made me think about that. But I think there's moments like that too, right? Where we're like trying to make so many decisions so quickly that like I have to give myself the grace to know like I can live in this space for a little bit before I make a decision. Or like there are rules, but there's also the rule of like, it's okay if you change it later, you know? I don't know. That's just coming to my mind as you're talking.
Absolutely. First of all, I think you should congratulate yourself because I do think there are a lot of people that do what you do. I feel a little bit like that. Like I just kind of want to see change or progress. And to me, making a decision is a way of testing something. But I think you're probably in the minority. I actually wish more people were like you because I think it's better to go ahead and make a decision, especially when paint is not that, I mean, a can of paint is $50, you know, a bathroom, you can paint it in a weekend. It's not like you painted a 5,000 square foot home and hired out.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I actually think that's a really smart way to be, is to say, you know what? I already don't like the color. Let's pick another color and see if I like it. You can't ruin something you already hate, which is a house rule.
That's right.
It's a great way to learn. I mean, otherwise, if a person is so afraid to make a mistake, we never make any change. And I believe the best way to learn what you personally like, because I can't teach you what you like. You can only learn what you like really by experiencing it. And now you know what you do and don't like. I pick wrong things all the time. Just yesterday, even, I don't know if you ever watch, I don't know what Shay McGee's TV show is, but you know, she's got a line with Target and all of that. And I was watching one of her Instagram posts that led to a YouTube video where she, I guess they bought their house in 2020 and had it built. She designed it. That's what she does. But there were some things that she regretted, like light and windows and things like that. And she had the means and she was changing it. And I think, you know, you could say a lot about many of those things, but part of what spoke to me was like, oh, she was like vulnerable enough to say, I am Shay McGee. This is my job to tell you all how to do the things. And I'm changing my mind. I made a mistake, or I wasn't sure, or, you know, this didn't work out the first time around. And I think that's really nice to hear.
That's so good. So, so good. The other thing that I think is super freeing, and you mentioned it earlier, but just to talk about it more, is the fact that we can use what we have, and you use the phrase of like shopping our home, right? And this happened with me just the other day. I was looking at a couple bookshelves in our home and was looking at a TV stand that we're thinking about buying, and just like the fruit basket turnover that I'm about to do to like kind of rearrange and make it fit better using what I have, right? Which I think we all have opportunity for that, but I'd love for you to just speak to what that might look like for listeners.
Oh, absolutely. I am a big believer in starting with where we are. You know, the book is separated into do what you know, use what you have, finish what you started, which are like three mantras. I use it in my life and in my business, and it applies to our home as well. And decorating does not start in the furniture store. You know, Rooms to Go would love for us to believe that it does, but it starts in our room and in our heart and in our head and with the hodgepodge of stuff that we all already have. You know, we have the most recent thing that we bought, our Facebook Marketplace find, something that we painted, something our husband had when he was a bachelor, something that got handed down, our newest thing that we're not sure about. Like, we all have all these stories that are kind of coming together, making a relationship, and we're deciding what to keep, what to get rid of, what is worth it to invest on. I mean, it's a lot of decisions all at once. I think it is very helpful if all those different things that I got carried away naming, if we, let's say we want a new pair of chairs in front of our fireplace and we're like, maybe a pair of chairs would be nice there. I have one chair. Instead of going to the furniture store, you put the one chair you have there. You shop your house for another chair. If it's a wooden chair from the table, if it's the rocking chair from the nursery, if it's a lawn chair from outside, you shop your house, you put it there, and then you live with it for a day or two and you think, oh, there's actually not room for two chairs, no matter what their size are. Oh, I really like, we keep someone sitting in the lawn chair right now, even though it's the most uncomfortable thing, just because that is how valuable a seat there. And so you use what you have to, and then you evaluate, is it too tall? Is it too short? Do I like something tall? Do I need something with legs? Do I need something cushy? And so it gives us information and all of this, like, it's kind of like we're a little house scientist. We're like collecting research, and it gives us confidence when it comes time to make that decision. And so using what I already have has been so helpful in so many ways to give me confidence. And I believe everyone should be doing that.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, as you were talking, it reminded me of something that you said to me in our last conversation that years later, I still remember. I think in the moment, and I'm forgetting which of your other three books that we were actually talking about in that particular episode, it was probably your last book. Remind me the title of your book before House Rules.
Welcome Home.
Yes, it was about Welcome Home. And we were talking about shopping at, you know, our everyday Marshalls, TJ Maxx, and things like that. And I am such a sucker for like the turn of the season, like Welcome Home pumpkin tchotchke stuff, right? And you encouraged me to like stop buying the little like Death by a Thousand Cuts little things, but like invest in the large pumpkin, or rather than doing the printed throw pillows, like get the color that you really want, but like something that can be easily swapped out or used again. And I don't know, that principle for me has allowed me over time to shop my house more easily. Does that make sense?
Oh,
so
absolutely.
I think like with that advice of shopping your house, I think when you shop mindfully over time, that actually helps you maximize what you already have. It has for me.
Does that make sense? I love that you even remember that. And I even now, you know, seasonally shopping my house because I don't, you know, my boys are little. I can remember one year, like my preschooler saying, "Mom, why aren't you decorating for Valentine's Day?" You know, if your little boy says that, you're like, "Oh, hold on just a moment. Let me decorate for Valentine's Day here." So what you do, you just walk around your house. You look for anything red. Well, let me get a stack of red books. Let's cut out some hearts out of this red scrapbook paper And so instead of going to the store, you can just kind of pull forward that red piece of pottery that's been in the back of your cabinet and the red vase and the, you know, whatever red blooming outside. And so again, shopping your house to support or shopping your house for information, it can all be just a way to kind of do our little part too of not really saving the planet, but just being good stewards of what we have.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so
and
good.
Maybe saving
I love
the
it.
Planet. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. At least doing our part, you know? I love that. I love that. So something that I've talked to friends about lately and that I think totally applies here is just having the confidence to make decisions that maybe even feel risky to you as compared to like maybe the rest of the world and how they would decorate their homes, but it feels very you. Like, how do we have the confidence to do that when maybe we're choosing a color or we feel ourselves kind of going in this direction, but we think, oh, that's really risky. How do we do that well?
Well, I would say two things. The first is if you can't ruin something you already hate, I want you to start small. Confidence and risk, they're like a muscle that you need to build. And you don't want to start off by being like, we're taking off the whole front porch and building on columns. No. Why don't you start with whatever is in your trunk ready to go to the Goodwill? And if you're like, I am so into, you know, hot pink. Well, instead of painting your bathroom hot pink, paint the piece of furniture that is in the back of your car that you were ready to take to the Goodwill. Paint the vase, you know, paint the little terracotta pot that you have, whatever it is. So take in the spirit of the big risks that you're kind of secretly excited about, take a baby step and see how you feel and see, do I like that color? You know, I think that's sometimes people will ask me like, oh, my husband doesn't want to paint something for me because last time I didn't like the color. And I think when that happens, that's on us. And it's not because you should make a perfect decision, but I do think it's because we should have the confidence that by the time we're asking someone else to do something for us, it shouldn't happen so much that they're like, not again, you know, obviously. Yeah. We're going to make wrong decisions sometimes, but building that confidence in small ways. Another way that I build that risk confidence is, it sounds crazy, but it's by, one of the house rules, it's pick the one that scares you. So let's say that you need, we're talking, it's January or February, whatever today is. And a lot of people are thinking about getting plants for their home. This is like the season where we need a plant. And instead of going and buying the 4-inch, you know, little violet and putting it in the 4-inch pot, which will have actually no visible impact in your home, although it is so cute and so sweet, maybe pick the one that scares you. Maybe get the big tall urn that's 24 inches high at TJ Maxx. Yeah. And maybe go buy the plant that's $19.99 at Lowe's. You know, even if you can only keep it alive for 6 months, the $20 plant for 6 months, what is that? Like $3? Don't make me do math. It's like $3 or $4 a month. You know, it's less than baby's breath at your grocery store, and you get a big plant.
That's right.
You get to learn what kind of plant you're good at. And so that I think choosing things with scale was one of the biggest things that changed the look of my home. Because when we see things of scale in other people's homes, we kind of read that as style. We read that as taking a risk, no matter what it is, doesn't matter what the style is, but it feels like it has impact. So a larger thing is going to have such a more visible impact. And usually a larger thing, there's something about, like, the math doesn't add up. If you pay a lot of times, you know, you can pay twice as much for something four times larger and it fills four times the space. And suddenly you only need a very small percentage of things in your home. When I was younger, I used to be so frustrated and look at, like, all my little tchotchkes, all my little cute stuff everywhere. Then I would look at a picture on Pinterest and think, I would count their stuff. I literally counted the stuff and realized they had like 39 items in their home. And I had 139, like in one room, because I was layering on so many little things, and these little things just read as clutter and they didn't have impact. And now I have learned, although it can feel risky, but if we buy stuff that we can return, so test it like that, and maybe buy something a little larger and see how it feels.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. So if listeners are coming to the conversation today and loving kind of all of this advice, I'm wondering, as we think about, you know, how we're stewarding our homes and how all of these things for me come together in a way that allows me to not only cultivate the home, like in every sense of the word that I want, but also allows me to be hospitable in a way that I think if I'm stressed out over my space or I'm overwhelmed in my space, I'm not fully present, right? Like how would you kind of speak to that to encourage people today who want to take those next steps? And maybe that's one of the reasons why, so that we're able to more fully cultivate the home that we want.
I think that's such a good, honest question. And I'm not sure that the pressure is the same now, but I feel like a few years ago, we were kind of shamed for even feeling that way. Like, I need to get over that and just use the house that I hate because I should be inviting people over. I don't know that we were necessarily created. We were created to enjoy and love beauty. Does that mean that we must insist on perfection? No. But I think that I know that I am the most free to open up my home when my home feels ready, when it feels like us, when it serves us well. It's not about having the highest end of finishes or, you know, being my dream home or spending a lot of money. It's happened in a rental house. It's happened in all kinds of different homes. But I want my home to partner with me almost so that I can be in a place where I'm not even thinking about my home. Because, you know, if I am hosting the baby shower or having a friend over and we're sitting on a sofa and I hate my sofa and I'm so embarrassed of it, it almost is a distraction for me.
Yes.
As the host, she doesn't care. But no. Ourselves. So I think there are so many things that don't involve burning it all down and starting over that make us use our home to the fullest just because we've made some small changes to make our home feel like a place that feels like us, that feels welcoming. And it starts with us. You know, if we don't feel welcome and at home in our own home, I don't think we can expect that we can in turn offer that to others.
Yeah. So good. I love that so much. Well, this has been such an incredibly practical episode, which I love. And so this is going to feel like a little bit of a hard right turn, but we ask the same question to every guest that comes on the Radical Radiance podcast. And the heart of the show really is to help women see in every area of our life, from the cultivation of our home to our relationships to our work, what it looks like to radiate the heart of Jesus in all that we do. And it goes back to this verse in Psalm 34, verse 5. It says, "Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be covered in shame." And so the question I love asking is, what about Jesus in this area or this season of your life? What about Jesus makes you radiant?
Oh my. Well, I think Jesus is probably the most qualified to answer that question on my behalf. But I definitely feel like as I've gotten older, you just become daily more grateful for life and for health and for family and for this day and age where we live, this conversation that you and I can have and we're never met in person, just all of those things. And I truly hope I use it to honor him in a way that encourages people. And I'll tell you, it has changed my life and encouraged me and changed the way that I use my home and open up my home. And so I'm just grateful.
So good. So good. Well, where can our friends connect with you, grab the book, all of those things after the conversation?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the book is available after April 23rd, wherever books are sold. And I'm at thenester.com on Instagram. At The Nester podcast is House Rules. And I see the world through house colored glasses. I talk about home all the time. And if you love home too, I would love to get to talk about it with you.
I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming back on the show. For listeners who have not listened to our first episode, it was episode 45, a million years ago. So go back and listen to that one as well, all about welcome home. That was a great conversation too, that just pairs really nicely with this one. So make sure you check that one out as well. And thanks, Mike Quillen, for coming back. I'm grateful. Yay.
Thank you.
I hope you loved that conversation with Mike Quillen Smith. Go grab a copy of House Rules wherever you like to buy books. And hey, if you thought of a friend who also loves to talk home decor and things like that, as you listen to today's episode, make sure you press share and share this episode with them. I love when you guys do that. It puts these conversations into the hands of more people who need them and will be encouraged by them. So that would mean the absolute world to me. And hey, if you've been listening a while and you've not left a rating and a written review for Radical Radiance, would you take 2 minutes to do that? That is another way that really, really aids in helping us get these conversations into more hands. So I can't wait to be back with you next week for another amazing episode, and I will chat with you then.